You can't stand, just put your hand over your heart. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I've heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents. The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, Let no one leave any of it over until morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much food, two omers apiece. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside till morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day. And then, in Matthew, the word of God says this, Give us this day our daily bread. Repeat that with me. Give us this day our daily bread. You may be seated. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he taught them to pray to forgive. He taught them to give honor to God. And in the middle of the prayer, he has this very unusual little sentence. It says, Give us this day our daily bread. It did not say, Lord, provide for us for the week or the month or the year. It didn't say, Lord, give us houses and land and, you know, Porsches and all those things that we would like to have. It said, Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, provide for us today what we need today. Give us today what we need for the day. And as I was reading that, I thought God had been trying to teach this lesson for a really, really long time. Because way back when Israel had just left the land of Egypt and they were out in the wilderness, they began to complain. And they said, we don't have enough to eat. Oh, that we were back in Egypt where we had all that we wanted. Have you ever noticed that every time they thought back and started crying out, they forgot the fact that they were slaves? They forgot the fact that they were beaten? They forgot the fact that they were not able to keep the profit from their labor? That everything that they done was dictated by someone else, and they cried out to God for deliverance, and He delivered them, and then they start saying, let's go back to Egypt. Does that make sense to you? Because it never has made sense to me until I grew up. And then I realized, we do that. We do that. We're never really content with daily bread. Manna was the lesson that they were to every single day trust God. You know, I have found that it's really much easier to trust God when everything's going well. Am I right? You know, everything's going pretty good. When the car runs, when the rent's going to get paid this month, when, you know, everybody in the family's fairly healthy, when you know where your kids are, when things are going along fairly well, we say, you know, you go, God. It's just all good. It's all good. And we trust, and we tell other people to trust. You know, it's easy then. But we have this little word that is the essence of many sins. Learn this word and identify it with sin every time you use it, and make sure that you're using it correctly, because the word is T-O-O. Two. Two is a word of discontent most of the time. I have too much of this or too little of that. My closet's too little. My house is too old. My car is too rusty. All of those twos. And we get discontent, and we are discontent, we tend to want more. We want more of what we perceive we lack, and we're not content with what we have for the day. Manna was trying to teach the children of Israel to be content with the day. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard to say here, right in this moment, I have everything I need, and I'm content with that? I promise you, you have everything you need, because if you needed it and didn't have it, you wouldn't be sitting here, you'd be dead. You know, obviously you have what you need. Now, you don't have everything you want. I don't have everything I want. I'll be honest. There's things I want that I don't have. There's things I want that I will never have. There are things that I want that are impossible to have. Doesn't stop me from wanting it. But I'm still learning every day to be content with what I have for the day. What happens is, we have, really, it kind of falls into two camps. You have the people who live in the past and the people who live in the future. And when I say people who are living in the past, that are people who are longing for some good thing that's now gone. Or they are living with hurts that they can't get over, or that they don't get over. Actually, you can. But hurts don't give over. A lot of times there's good things that we had. I find this to be true for older people. So, you know, the second row up here, you're not going to get this one. Hang on, you'll get the second one. But most of the rest of us in this room get this one. We get this one. We get that we long for something that is gone. Health, the ability to do things. There are things I can't do anymore. And what's really funny is it still surprises me. You know, I'll just start to do something because I've always done it, and all of a sudden my body just ain't going to do that. Thank you very much. And I go, what's up? What's up? Oh, yeah, 56. And I wish for that time when I could do certain things, or at least do them without pain. I miss that. I miss people who are gone. Most of my family is gone. I know way more people who are under the ground than I do that are above it. Almost all of my family is gone. And I miss them. I didn't want to hang with them, but I miss them. There are all these things that we miss from when we were younger. And when I say this, I always say it for a joke, but I'm trying not to say it anymore because not everybody knows it's a joke. When I talk about something that used to be, say, back when I had a life. Because in some way, you know, it's how it feels as, you know, back when I had a life, I did this, this, and this. You know, I have a wonderful life. I have the best life in the world. And, you know, I'm trying not to say that, because not everybody gets that it's a joke, but we do. Haven't you met people who live in the past, who all they can talk about is what happened before? And that's for both good and ill. There are some people that will tell you the same traumatic experience that they had when they were 14 and now they're, you know, 85, but that's still their story. It is not contentment and trust for the day. And these people who do this, they have such miserable lives. And then we have those that, you know, some of us, and the younger people, and at least I did this when I was younger, is I live in the future, as in I wasn't actually living, I was postponing living until this or that happened. You know, you kind of postpone life. You know, the first thing that was going to happen that was going to improve my life was getting my driver's license. So life was going to be good when I got my driver's license. But I found out that, you know, while I had other, you know, when I had certain privileges, I also had certain responsibilities. And I'll be honest, you know, life didn't get all that much better after I got my driver's license. So then it was going to be better after I got married. Now, I don't know whether to go there or not. My life got considerably better after I got married the first time. And it's just like, you know, that's when everything's going to be right. I will, you know, I'm going to do these certain things, and I'm going to live this certain kind of life, and I'm going to be happy when, and I'm going to do this and that when I have a job where I make enough money to do fill in the blank. And I found out as I was postponing life that I never had enough money to fill in that blasted blank. You know, there was just never enough to fill in that blank. With all these things that I wanted to do, I wasted so much of my life postponing living until there was a different set of circumstances. Don't do that. Don't do that. Circumstances will never be perfect. Say that one with me. Circumstances will never be perfect. They won't. Circumstances are never going to be perfect. So don't postpone living. Live today. Trust God for the day. Be content with daily bread. And then there's the other part of the living in the future. And it kind of goes back to that past thing. You have people who have hurts they can't get over. You've got people who have hurts coming that they're worried about. Over the past month, I have been meeting periodically with my financial advisor. And we have these discussions after he stops laughing. And we look at, you know, we look at, quote, my retirement. And I look at my retirement, and I go, you know, I can live well off this. I'm going to live well, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to travel, I am going to be able to afford a nice place to live. I don't know what I'm going to do the second day. But I'm not actually, this is one that does not me, but it does a lot of people. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about whether or not my health is going to hold up. It either will or it won't. I'll do my best to make that happen, but will or I won't. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow and what it might bring. There's a song, Betty. We need to sing this sometime. It's called something about I won't worry about tomorrow because I just live from day to day. It says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know what's coming, but I know who's got my back. So, but you know, you can't live in that worry. It's not living. Actually, you're wasting today worried about tomorrow. You just can't do that. Not and live like God wanted us to live. When we live in the moment, not for the moment, do we know the difference? Young people, do you know the difference between living in the moment and living for the moment? You got that? Okay. We've got some that get it and some that don't. So let me explain this one. Living in the moment means be here right now. Enjoy this moment. Take all that this moment has to offer you. But living for the moment means doing what you want to do when you want to do it without consequence, without, you know, thinking about the consequences of what you're going to do. We were talking in Sunday school today that if the first time somebody tried drugs, if they got a picture of where that was going to take them, they probably would put it down. They wouldn't go there. You know, if the first time you took a drink, you know, you lost your spouse, your kids, your house, your car, and your job, chances are you'd put that thing down. You know, we take these steps, we want it for right now, for the moment. for momentary pleasure without regard to the consequences. That's the difference between living in the moment and living for the moment. And God wants us all to live in the moment. When I thought of who lives most in the moment, I thought about tightrope walkers. You know, tightrope walkers do not turn around and look where they've been. And they don't look that far ahead to where they're going. They feel that rope underneath their foot. They are in that moment. Because if you're not, what happens? You fall off. Folks, life is a lot like the tightrope. And if you stay in this moment, if you live now, if you live in this day, if you work, enjoy, rest, play, do all of those things in the moment that you're in, you stay on the wire. And you say, well, you know, I'm afraid of heights. And that tightrope is scary. You don't have to worry about that. You're not going to fall. You stay in the moment, you won't fall. And if you do fall, God will catch you. He's right there. The tightrope, folks, is not as dangerous as it looks. Life is not as hard as we make it. It's not as scary as we think it is. Life can be good if you'll live right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Every time you start to go too far back or too far forward, remember, give us this day our daily bread. This day. What we need for this day. I used to have a little statue. I loved it. I wish I could find it, but I think it's probably gone forever now. It was Ziggy. Y'all know Ziggy? I love Ziggy. It had Ziggy like the thinker. And on the stone, you know, underneath the thinker, Ziggy, it said, "Do not worry about tomorrow. We may not make it through today." And I love that. I got that when I was I probably got that when I was 10 years old. But it's the truth. Why worry about tomorrow when today's all we've got? Say it with me. Give us this day our daily bread. Say it again. Give us this day our daily bread. Just one more time. Give us this day our daily bread. If you'll live for your daily bread, it's a life worth living. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.